Okay, we'll start here at the top of Samach Zayim Mud Aleph. We left off yesterday with Rava discussing. He said, pshitali, clear to me that Miruach Hektesh Poter, that if Hektesh does the actual Miruach Hakri, then they are Poter, the item from Maser, because that's the moment of Chiyuv Maser. If it's in the hands of Hektesh, it's Patur. Miruach of the Kachavim Tanahi, that's Machlokas Tanaim, which they brought down a Braita to support that view that they're Tanaim with different positions with regards to whether a Goy or even Kochavim is Chayev or not Chayev based on the Miruach Hakri. There Rashi mentions that it's according to the one who says that Ein Kinyan Lovi Kochavim Lefkia Masrot Beretz Yisrael. Tosu says that maybe the Machlok is actually hand in hand, that whoever believes there is a Kinyan to be Mafkia also believes that the Miruach has no bearing, and whoever doesn't have a Kinyan believes that the Miruach does have bearing, and therefore you would be Chayev in Masrot. And then the Gemara says Gilgul Hekdesh Puter. We're clear that when it comes to the kneading of the dough, point at which the chiyuv of challah takes hold, if that's in the hands of Ekdesh or done by Ekdesh, we're clear that that's poter, ditnan, that's an explicit Mishnah. Higdisha isata ad shelo gilgala. She was magdish the dough before they had kneaded it, upidata, and then redeemed it, chayevet. Chayevet in challah because she's the one who kneaded it. She did all the process with Ekdesh prior to the time of the chiyuv of challah, and once she kneaded it and brought the chiyuv of challah, it was back in her possession. Misha gilgala. If she made a hektesh after she already had kneaded the dough and then redeemed it, it's also chayevet because the chiyuv already devolved upon the dough or not challah before it was made into hektesh. So therefore, when she redeems it, it already has a tzad chiyuv on it. Here's the case where you're patur, which is higdisha ad shelo gilgala. She was makdishit before she kneaded it. Vigilgala gizbar. And then the kneading was done by the treasurer, obviously not by the treasurer himself, but he had somebody do it on behalf of Hekdesh, v'achar kach pedata, and then only afterwards was it redeemed, then it's pturah. At that point it's pturah because sha'at chovata ita pturah. The moment that the chiyuv took hold, which is at the time that it's needed, it was in the hands of Hekdesh. And in the hands of Hekdesh, one is patur from the mitzvah of challah. So as long as that's the moment at which the chiyuv takes place, it's in the hands of Hekdesh, that will create a ptur. If it's before or after, then it'll be chayav because either the chiyuv already took place before she was makdishit, or she is makdishit prior to the chiyuv, but redeems it also prior to the chiyuv and makes it chayavit. So that Gemara says we're clear about. But by Rava, Gilgul Oved Kochavim Mai. Same thing that we had before, but Miruach HaKri, Rava presents the same question here, which is, what about the kneading of an Oved Kochavim? Gemara says, Mitno, Tnan. We already have that in a Mishnah. Ger Shinit Gayer, Vaita Lo Isa, Nase Achelo Nit Gayer Patur. If a Ger is converting, and with him, along with him in his possessions, is dough that was already made into dough prior to his converting, then it's patur from challah. Mishinit gayer. If after he converted, he made it into dough, then chayav. So if the moment of chiyuv took place while he was still a goy, then patur. If the moment of chiyuv took place after he already converted, he was already a Jew, then he is chayav. Safek. If there is a safek to the moment, then we say he is chayav. So now, this is the question. Obviously, if it's a Mishnah, then Rava shouldn't be presenting this as a question. So when Rava says, by Rava, we have to understand what the question is that he's asking, and that's what the Gemara is going to do here, is define for us the question that Rava had about this Mishnah. We know that the Mishnah says that Gilgul Oved Kochavim is Patur. That's pretty straightforward. So what's Rava's question is this. When we say this, Haman Ketoni Lo, who's the author of this Mishnah? Divrei Hakol Hi. This Mishnah is authored by all parties. Ve'afilu Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, and yesterday, the end of yesterday's daf, we had the Machloket Tanaim with regards to Miruach HaKri by Oved Kochavim. We had Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda said Chayav, and we had Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon who said Patur. So now, when we're talking about Gilgul, does even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda who say Chayav for a Goy by Miruach HaKri, do they agree here that he's Patur with regards to Gilgul of the Isa? So that's the Haman Ketoni Lo Divrei Hakol Hi, Va'afilu Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda Kemechayev, the Bekai Bechotom, that they were Mechayev by the case of Miruach HaKri, Patri Hocha. Over here they're going to say Patur. Why? Hotom Hu Dichtiv. Over there we have the additional Digantcha Yeteire. We have additional multiple times that the word Dagan is mentioned, and we have a principle that have a mute, achar mute, exclusionary term. And that exclusionary term, we have two exclusionary terms, a mute, achar mute, ba elel rabot. When you have these exclusionary terms, it comes to include something that afilu ovei kochavim. So even though technically, played Dagan Cha, you would have thought your Dagan, Velo Dagan Oved Kochavim. But since you have these multiple times that it says Dagan Cha, three times that he used the word, therefore we have an extra two Dagan Chas, one to be Mayit Digon of the Kochavim, and an additional one which would also be Mayit Oved Kochavim. So the fact that I have a Miut Achar Miut now comes to tell me the Rabbo of Ahocha, in our case of the dough, Trey Zimne Arisotechem. It only mentions Arisotechem twice. The first one comes to teach us how much you need in order to bring the challah. That's the gedei isotechem. And the last one is ha'ev irisotechem lo isat ovdei chachavim evelo isat hekdesh. So the other one comes to exclude what's not your isa, which would be the preclusion of an ovdei chachavim and the preclusion of hekdesh. But you don't have a third irisotechem to come and say there's an additional miut. Have a miut achar miut to be the rabot. So here, when we have the miut achar miut, the rabot, then we say yes. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda say chayav by miruach hakri. Over here, where we only have arisotechem twice, we use each one of them, and each one of them is necessary, and we don't have this extra arisotechem to say that we have a miut achar miut the rabot. So Rashi asked the question here. We see over here that the miut of arisotechem is a miut for hekdesh and for ovdei kochavim. When we say there is a miut achar miut rabot by the dagan, why do we include ovdei kochavim? Why don't we include hekdesh? You have two options of what to be merabit. Rashi asked that in the Rashi, ain miut achar miut achar the rabot digun ovdei kochavim techayav. So Torah mistavra ovi kochavim velo pigeon kishel Israel says that we have to look at which is more similar. We're dealing with a hedgeot. We're dealing with something that does not require pigeon in order to be accessible to people. By hekdesh, if you were to suggest that in the hands of hekdesh something be chayav, you still need pigeon to get it away from hekdesh. So it says that ovi kochavim is more dome than to a regular Israel, and therefore that's what we chose to be merabe versus hekdesh. Alright, so Chad Risotechem is Kedei Isotechem, is the shiur by which you're chayav for challah. Because there's no shiur, like Truma, there's no shiur min haTorah for challah. Bal Darshan is 1/24th for a balabayit and 1/48th for commercial uses. Right. The Isotechem is the amount that will be chayav, like the Isa on the Midbar. Five fourths of Kemach, Sa'av Kemach, which is from the Torah, which is the, what is it? It's the G'day Issa that you know in the Torah. What's the G'day Issa in the Torah? And then they were marbed the Shirim twice, so then they ended up with the five fourths of. Oh, Dilma, this is the Safek of Rava. Rava says, okay, let's say either everybody holds of this Mishnah, including Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, or Dilma maybe the other way, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Ketani Lo. This Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. I mean, consistent with their position in Miruach HaKri, where the Ovid Kochavim is Patur, they also say by Gilgal that it's Patur, but Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who think by Miruach they're Chayav, would also say by the Gugul Issa that they are Chayav. About Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, not Gemirei Reshit Reshit Mehotom. So they have this Gzeira Shavot, that's the Rashi that we just looked at, which is they have Reshit Degancha and Reshit Arisotechem. So Reshit Reshit teaches you the same thing you have by Dagan, you're going to have by the Arisa. Amar Ravo Yehei Ravo. The Achzei Bechilma. It's very interesting. Here at Tzon, that I should see it in a dream, that this should come to me to clarify this position. Hadar Amar Ravo. Then Rabbi said, now Rava comes to a conclusion, doesn't say he ever saw it in a dream, but he says that he came to this conclusion. Man damar miruach hovid kochavim poter, Gilgal over the Chavim Poter, that their positions are consistent. Whoever says Miruach is Patur also thinks Gilgal is Patur. That is the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, Mandomar Miruach Ovid Chavim Einu Poter, that's the position of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that you're Chayav in Miruach HaKri of the Ovid Chavim. Certainly then also Gilgal Ovid Chavim Einu Poter, then the Gilgal also will not be Poter, meaning that whatever you hold in one, you hold in the other. That the tour that is generated out of the Gan will affect Gilgal as well. And if you don't have a tour over there, then you don't have that patur when it comes to the Gilgul of Ti'isa. But it seems that it's a derivative. I mean, Miruach HaKri is the main limud. Gilgul is just a derivative through the Gzerah Shava, Reshit Reshit. Whatever is true of the Gan now will be true of the Gilgul Isa. So, Eitvei Rav Papa, the Ravo. Now we're going to have a series of questions on this conclusion of Ravo. So, Eitvei Rav Papa, the Ravo. Ovi Kochavim Shifrish Petar Chamor V'Chalah. A Ovi Kochavim that went ahead and he wants to do what the Torah says. So, he goes ahead and he's Mafrish Petar Chamor. Rashi says over here that the Petar Chamor that we're speaking about is the set that you use to redeem it, and that's what the Ovid Kochavim is bringing to us, and that's what we're saying has no dusha, has nothing associated with it. Tosfos asks on that, we know that the set that is used to exchange the Petach Hamor is Chulin Negamre, it has to be given to the Kohen, but other than that, there's no Tzad Kedusha to the set. So Tosfos claims that we're speaking over here is the Petach Hamor itself, not the set, but the actual Petach Hamor, which does have an Isur Hanoah if he doesn't give it to the Kohen, and therefore when the Gebraita says that Petach Hamor we release, that means literally the Petach Hamor itself.
himself, and he was mafrish chala from his dough. Modino toshu patur. Let him know that he's patur, that he doesn't have to do this, that whatever he took off, this petar chamor that he's doing, that he wants to take off a sef, a pigeon on the petar chamor, and the chala is mafrish from his isa, none of those are kadosh. Tell him, stick them back in, anybody can eat them, they're not kadosh. V'chalato nechalat lezarim. The chalato can be eaten by zarim, not non-kohanim, but petar chamor gozeis volveiko. You can do whatever you want, the petar chamor, it's not kadosh. Ha! The implications from this are shumato asura. The only items mentioned in this Tosefta are Petar Chamor and Chala. What's absent from the Tosefta, which should have been mentioned, is what about Shuma? Why won't you say Shumato and Shuma and say the same thing about Shuma? The fact that it doesn't mention that implies that the Tosefta believes that he is Chayav by Shuma. Who's the author of the position that I'm Chayav by Shuma? That's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And what does it say here? That they're still Patur by the Gilgul Isa. So this shows you that they are not parallel. Those positions don't have to necessarily line up. And that's the question that he's asking. Ha, Shumato, Asura, Vaha, Hi, Tano. This Tano in this Tosefta says Miruach Ovid Kochavim Einu Poter, and nevertheless he says Gilgul Ovid Kochavim Poter. So there you see that the positions are not necessarily consistent. Ve'od Eitavei Revino the Rava. Revino also posited another Tosefta that was a problem for Rava, because it says Chalat Ovid Kochavim Ba'aretz Utrumato B'chutz La'aretz Mordino Toshu Patur. When it comes to the Chalav Ovid Kochavim that is Mafrish Be'aretz Israel, or Truma that is Mafrish in Chutz La'aretz, we tell him Patur. That's not necessary for you. What are the clear implications from here? So chalatone, chalat lezarim, v'chumatoine medamet. This chalat that is mafrish, after we tell him, is not necessarily eaten by kohanim, eaten by anybody, and the chuma does not, when mixed with chulin, make it into dimui. It doesn't affect it and make it into something that is kadosh. Ha, which is the inference, clear inference from here, is chumato b'eretz Yisrael would be asura u'medamet. That chuma in Eretz Yisrael would have an effect. And now again, ha, chumato b'eretz asura u'medamet. Who's that? That is according to the position of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, again, you have that inconsistency between the fact that you are chayav in shuma for the miruach akri of the ovid kochavim, but yet you are patur when it comes to the gugul isan chala. So how do you have that? Now twice we've shown you tosefdot that have inconsistent opinions, which goes against Rava's conclusion that their positions do line up. And that would mean that the breita that we brought before was divrei akol. It wasn't just limited to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi like Rava said, but it's divrei akol. And just the arguments by Meiruach HaKri, Kadei Arisotechem is an independent limud. And over there, we don't have the limud to be Mayet the Goyen. That's how you have to explain both of these Tosefdot against the way Rova made their positions consistent between Meiruach HaKri and the Gilgul Isa. So where it says here, no, Midrabonon, something from your issue, it says Midrabonon, Gezeira Mishum Bali Kisim. Really a Din Dirabonon over here, because of Bali Kisim. What are Bali Kisim? So Rashi brings down two interpretations. One is a Shirim, wealthy people, Shluchim Tvua, Mechamarim. They buy their tzvua from middlemen, from people who are bringing it down. If we allow you to come to a place where if you buy from Ovid Kochavim, you will not take off ma'aser, dimruach kochavim poter, enochanami, it is patur. Ati the meimer, nami lokeach mechamar Yisrael patur. So if you think, what's the person going to come to think? It's not going to think the reason that I'm patur from ma'aser is not because I'm buying it from a non-Jew, but because I'm buying it from a chamar. I'm buying it from the middleman who's selling it to me. So they're going to come to make the mistake that just like when I bought it from the middleman, the guy, I didn't have to be maaser. Also here, when I buy it from the Yisrael, that's a mechamer, I won't have to be maaser it. And that's not true. And then he brings lishnach rino, he brings an additional lashon, which is mishum bale kisim sheyesh lehem karkaot harbe. They have large tracts of land, v'chasim arov masrot, and they don't want it to give so much maaser. It's a tremendous amount of maaser. They're going to have to give on large quantities of produce. So what do they do? Yiknei od ovid kochavim. He's going to give it, he's going to each year, when he gets around to miruach akri, he's going to have the goy come in, he's going to sell it to the goy for the miruach akri. Bim reichum ovdei kochavim, have the non-Jew do the miruach akri. Mafkalei me'maser, and that would be a way for him to skip out of paying maser. So this was basically the way that they used to get out of paying maser. It's a trick to get out of paying maser. So chamim closed that loophole by saying, okay, if you buy from ovdei kochavim, miruach akri, you're chayav. But that's a din derabbanan, but a din derabbanan to prevent people from doing this trick to get out of maserot. Where it says, you want to start playing those games? Afilu chalei nami. Why is it that you just say say this by the masrot, and you don't say it by the challah. For challah, you'll have the same problem. We have large quantities of dough. We have people that are buying dough off of the chamarim. Either way, then when you do the gilgul, has been done by someone else, you'll think you're patur. So you have the same problem. Either you'll go and buy from a Jew, and it won't be patur, or you're going to, people who don't want to give challah, they're going to all have their gilgul, their kneading be done by a non-Jew, so they won't have to pay for challah. Challah nami efshar da afila pachot mechameshet rubayim kemach. That's what we just discussed before, that the shi'ur of challah is the 5/4 of a sa'av kemach. And over there, what you can do is, if you patur from challah, you don't have to do this trick of selling to the goy. Just knead it at lower quantities below the amount that you are chayav in challah. Vote. Wait a minute. Shuma nami efshar. If you want to try that, if you think that by challah, the reason the chamim were not gozer is because they had an alternative to get out of being chayav, which was totally illegal. But over here, you also have a legal loophole by the truma, because you can do it like Rav Oshia, which we've seen before. Damar Rav Oshia, ma'arim adam al tvuato. Person can play this trick with his produce, with his grains. Machnisa b'motshala. And it can bring it in while it's still in the state where it's not ready, which is that it's still in the shell. The shells are still on the grains. And then, kadeshe b'mto achelet uptura min amaser. In order that his behema can continue to eat it from it, and it'll be patur min amaser. Because, number one, achilat arai will be mutar. Since it's not yet chayav in masrot, achilat arai is mutar. The Gemara here mentions kadeh achilat b'mto, which Rashi says, because the achilat behema is automatically arai. The Tosfos points out, Rashi mentions over here, the reason to do like Rabbi Yoshia is because when you bring it in, then you can eat from it achilat arai, meaning that your animal can eat from it, because the food or the meals of an animal always arai, and the human being possibly could eat from it arai, and that's why you would bring it in. Tosfos questions that explanation. He says, Perish Bakuntris, the Daka Bemto, Shechilat arai, Aval achilat keva lo. The Dindra Rabbonin is that me achilata keva, he's totally precluded from. The question is then, what is the solution of Rabbi Yoshia doing for you? The whole takana of Bali Kisim, the whole idea of Din Derabonan is that a person cannot consume even achilat keva, suggesting that otherwise it would have been mutar to consume it be'achilat keva. Now over here, if you use Rabbi Yoshia's suggestion, you're only going to end up being mutar to eat achilat arai, not achilat keva. So how is that helping you? Why is that an offset to the takana against the Ovid Kochavim? You can't replicate what the Ovid Kochavim does for you. By challah, if the Ovid Kochavim does the gilgul, that you're potur. And also over here, if you do the challah less than 5/4, you're potur the gamre. But that's not true when the Gemara is trying to compare these two cases. You have the case of miruach Ovid Kochavim, where you're potur the gamre. And now I have a case where you do like Rabbi Yoshia, you're not patur legamre, you're only patur, or you're only allowed to eat the arai. So why are the two cases parallel? So first, Tosfos brings a Rabbi Ephraim, and Rabbi Ephraim says, no, the reason people do this, or what they say when they are doing this, is I'm bringing it in from my behema. That's why I'm bringing mochila. Even though the reason they're doing this is to be patur from maestro the gamre. So really, truthfully, even for humans and for achilat keva, it would be okay. The reason that the Gemara, when it talks about Rosh, only brings the example of the behema, is because that's what people normally say. But ainon achanami, it would be mutar b'achilat keva. Tosfos brings a number of questions on that pshat, then he rejects that pshat. Then Tosfos suggests that maybe only when the Tvua can eventually reach a stage of Chiyuv Midoraita is there a Gzera Derabanan of not eating Keva. Over here, we'll never reach the stage of Doraita because of the way that he brought it in. Maybe over there, there's no Gzera. Again, Tosfos rejects that and moves on to suggest when it comes to the Miruach of an Ovid Kochavim, that it also is not Mutar Bachilat Keva. When it comes to Miruach of an Ovid Kochavim, it is not Poter the Gamre, but only allows you to have Achilat Arai. And that before, when the Tosfos says that you give it back to the Ovid Kochavim when he does the Truma, that is because it's a unique case, a case where it was the Ovid Kochavim through and through. Tosfos starts to be mechalik between a case where a Jew owned it originally, he sells it to the Ovid Kochavim, then he gets it back. In that instance, the Miruach of the Ovid Kochavim is poter it and allows you to eat Achilat Arai, but still does not permit Achilat Keva. On the other hand, if it was from the Ovid Kochavim from the start to finish, over there it would be potur legamrei. So the Tosefta and says, give it back to him, it's potur legamrei, that's an Ovid Kochavim owned it all the way through and through. When we're discussing over here this comparison or the Gzeirat Rabbanan, we're talking about a case where a Jew was taking his own produce, selling it to the Ovid Kochavim, and then taking it back. In that case, he's trying to be Marim, and over there we say that the Achilat Arai is the only thing the Miruach Ovid Kochavim does for you. Tosfos leans that way, but then he comes back and says, the end, I don't know, where is that distinction? Before the Gzera Bali Kisin, where was there ever such a distinction between whether the Goy started with or a Jew started with it? We don't see such a distinction. If we don't have such a distinction, then why, when they made the Gzera, does it affect all produce of the Ovid Kochavim? It doesn't just affect that which is owned by Yisrael originally, but even when it's owned by an Ovid we chachamim from the beginning, we say the gzera affects them. Well, the gzera should only have been in place to affect the situation. If we're machalik between them, a situation where it's a Jew giving it to Rabbi Chachamim, but where it's no chachamim from the beginning, maybe we shouldn't do it. Now, the way Rashi explained it before, he says that the gzera bali kisim even affected the case where it was owned by the non-Jew originally. Because the one explanation in Rashi was that we were afraid if he bought from a middleman that was a guy, he'd also buy from a middleman in Israel, not be mafresh. So Rashi actually brings down two different aspects of this gzera, and one of them would address that issue, which is that even buying it directly from Rabbi Chachamim would be problematic, and that would solve the problem. Nevertheless, Tosfos is trying to figure out exactly how Rabbi Oshia solves this problem, at least according to Rashi, and even according to what Tosfos is explaining, it doesn't seem to match up to what would have been an absolute heter if it was done by Meruach Rabbi Chachamim, versus over here, then you have a partial heter. So you have to either change Rabbi Oshia to think that there is a full heter according to Rabbi Oshia, or you have to change the Meruach Agnachri to say that by the Meruach Rabbi Chachamim, his Meruach also would have only a partial heter, and that's why it matches up. So that's what Tosfos is trying to do in this long Tosfos over here, but he really leaves it almost as a tzarech ion. He's not exactly sure how to make those two reconcile because there are a number of Mishnayot and Tosefto to make it difficult to reconcile both sides of the coin. So over here you have him bringing it in b'motshila, and therefore you're lacking in ri'iyat p'nei abayit. You know, there are two stages in the chiyuv maser. There's miruach akri. Miruach akri is when you pile it up, you smooth out the pile. That makes you chayv maser if you're planning on selling it or doing something else with the grain. If you're planning on bringing it into your home, then there's an additional stage in order to be chayv maser, which is called riyat p'nei abayit. Has to come into the house, the front door of the house, and that's when the chiyuv devolves upon you to pay the maserot from this item. So if you bring it into the house before that zman achiyuv, because you're bringing it b'motshila, you'll do miruach in the house, you'll never be chayav, because you will always be lacking in riyat p'nei habayit. Or the alternative is inami da'ela derka goat v'derka karpifot. But the only time you're chayav is you bring it p'nei habayit. Bring it from the front door, then you're chayav. So if you bring it through the roof, if you bring it in through the roof, or you bring it in through the back door, then you will also not be chayav. And because of that, you have a way to get out of truma. So why did the Rabbanan have to go out of their way to be gozer by truma, and not gozer by chalam? I says, I'll tell you why. Hotam befaresia zila be milta, hocha mitzina lo zila be milta. The alternative to be patur in Masrot is a public thing. Everybody's going to see you bringing your grains into the house while they're still in their shells. People will see you bringing all your grain into your house through the roof, and they'll know that you're playing a game to get out of Masrot. So that a person may be embarrassed about. It's not something that he wants other people to know that he's doing. He doesn't want people to think that he's miserly, he's not giving his Masrot, that he's doing tricks to get out of his Maser. So he won't do that because it'll be something that the public's aware of. So since he won't do that, the only alternative for him is to play through the Goy, which is something that people will not know about. If he doesn't do the Goy, then it'll be Patur. That, the Chachamim closed that loophole by saying that if you bring it from the Goy, you'll still be Chayav. On the other hand, by Chala, if you need it less than 5/4 or more than 5/4, nobody's in your house when you're doing that. Nobody has a clue whether you needed it in smaller quantities to get out of the din of challah, or you did it in large quantities. Nobody knows that. So since I have that alternative to need it below the quantity that is chayav, I have multiple alternatives. I can send it to the goy, and I can do it through the less quantities. Over there, the chamim not goes there because of the alternative. They have to be gozer in all cases. And to be gozer in a case when you're less than shiur doesn't make sense. It only makes sense that you do it in a case where people are really trying to get out of it, but they're doing a kish shiur, and they're using the obi kochavim. So over there, they were not gozer by chala. So that'll be Rava's response. Rava says, I think I'm right, that their positions are consistent between Dagan and chala. So what about the tuto sefto to make it sound like someone has an inconsistent opinion? No, that's only a dinder abanan. Really, they believe midoraita, patur, patur. The reason that they are chayav by masrot is all a din derabanan that was introduced over here. Okay, the next Mishnah we'll start a little bit here, then it'll continue tomorrow, but this is the process of actually making the Omer. So what is it? Balo l'Yisaron. He has now, what we discussed in the previous Mishnah, is how does he get to the Yisaron? How does he bring in the grain? What does he do to mill the grain? And then how does he sift the grain to get to the point that he has an Yisaron? Because the Omer comes from an Yisaron. So now he has his Yisaron. What does he do? Natan, the word alav should not be here because we're talking about here, shamno ulevanoto. He places the shemen and levana into a kli sharet, not the same kli sharet, but he oils the kli sharet before he puts the mincha into the kli sharet. And ulevanoto, the levana goes into a separate kli sharet, its own kli sharet. Then yatsak uvalal, this is out of order. Rashi references you to a Mishnah further on. Now it's funny that Rashi mentions that because in that Mishnah it's also in a different order. That Mishnah has a different order than yatsak uvalal. The Shita Mekubetzet says it's lav dafka, it's out of order. Rashi doesn't mention it's out of order, he just sends you to the other Mishnah. But that other Mishnah clearly means that it's out of order. Which is what you'll do first is you put in shemen in the physically. That was the first shemen. Then you put the isaron in. After you put the isaron in, you put an additional shemen on top of it, and then your bolel. Then you mix it. You knead it with the shemen. So you oil the pan, or you oil the kli sharet. Then you put in the isaron, and then you put an additional oil, and you mix it. After that point in time, there is an additional oiling, which is the veyatzak, the yitzika, is to pour oil on top of the mincha when it's already a mincha. So whether that yitzika happens at a later stage, that depends on the mincha, whether it's after afiyah, maybe before afiyah, but there is a yitzika that comes afterwards. So that's what we have here. You put in the shemen, and then it says yatzak and balal. It should be the other way around, which is balal veyatzak. First he does the blilo, and then afterwards you do the yitzika. Although there is, again, a shemen before the blilo. It's a shemen before to allow you to knead it. That's what's the liquid that you need, is that shemen. And then the yitzika, which is after the completion of the process, where it's dough already, or it's baked already, then you pour on, there's a yitzikat ha-shemen on top of it. Tosos mentions that all three of them are really mentioned here in the Mishnah. All three of those matnot shemen are mentioned in the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah says yatzak v'balal. Even though yitzikat really comes after blila, I changed the order to show you that there's shemen before the blila, and then the regular yitzikat, which comes after the blila. Whether it's according to Rashi, the Shita Megubetzet, or Tosos, everybody agrees there are three matnot shemen. The question is, are they included in the Mishnah? According to Shita Megubetzet, it's just lav davka, it's out of order, and it doesn't mention them. Rashi quotes you from the Gemara further on and suggests that maybe this is okay and it just leaves out the latter yitzika. Tosu says, no, the fact that it took it out of order is to indicate you exactly that. That there are three matnot shemen, but yitzika is afterwards, but here it puts the yitzika before to show you there's an additional matnot shemen. Then you do hanafa, which we know by the Omer there's a requirement of tnufa, do it on the mizrach. Remember that the Gemara says that you can do the tnufa even on the eastern side. Smachokas, whether you can do it on the western side or you're supposed to do it on the eastern side of the mizbeach. And then afterwards you have the din of hagasha. To bring it to the Karen Marvit Dromit and to touch it to the corner. That you have a din. We had that from the Limudim before, that all menachot require that hagasha, except for those that were mitmayet. And over there we were mayet, lechem apanim, eshtei alechem, minchat nisachim. Those were the items that were excluded, but Omer has a din in hagasha. Kamat, then you take the komet off, the hiktir, and then you place it on the mizbeach. Vashar nechal kohanim, and the remainder go to the kohanim, like any other kodshei kodashim, which whatever gets to the mizbeach, the remainder belongs to the kohanim. It's to be eaten in the Azara. Misha Kareva Omer, once the Omer was brought, the Kemitza went on the Mizbeach. Yotzim, Omotzim, Shuke Yerushalayim, Heim, Leim, Kemach, V'Kali. That you go out into the Shuke Yerushalayim, they're full of flour, and Kali are the roasted grains, meaning that they're full. Shelo Bertzon Chachamim. That was not what the Chachamim wanted, but that's what happened every year. When the Omer, as soon as the Omer was brought, you go to the Shuk and everything was ready to go. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, Bertzon Chachamim, Yotzim. It's totally fine. That's the Chachamim agreed, and they allowed this to happen. So, Velo Gazar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's not gozer like Rabbi Meir. Dilma Atil Amechol Minei. Maybe he'll come to eat it. All right, why isn't he afraid that people come to eat from Chadash? What's the problem? What was against the Ritzon Chachamim? If we allow people to harvest the grain before the Chadash is Nitar, we're afraid they're going to eat from that grain. They're going to process it. They're going to eat it before the Omer is brought in the Mikdash. And there'll be an Easter of Chadash that they violate. Chachamim say, don't be kozer. Don't do any work with the grains until the Chadash is Nitar. Then do it, because then we won't have any fears. So Rabbi Meir makes that gzeira, Rabbi Yehuda does not. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make such gzeira, very minimal. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Bodkim or Abasar, when you do bdika, you do it on the night of the 14th. Uba Abasar Shacharit. And again, if you didn't do it at night, you can do it in the morning. And if you don't do it in the morning, Bashat Biyur, you can do it up to the 6th hour, but that's it. Rabbi Yehuda says, you may not do bdika b'moed, on the moed itself. The Chachamim, on the other hand, lo badak on Erev Yom Tov, you didn't do it by Zman HaBiyur, you can do it even on Yom Tov itself. What's the machlokes between them about? Whether we're choshish, when you find the bread, are you going to eat it? When he finds the bread, he knows it's a sword. He'll burn it. He's not going to eat it. But it says, no, he's used to eating challah. You allow him to go do a bdika, he's going to come to eat the challah that he's being bodeg for. So Amar Rabo, shiny. Psachim, the gear says, Amar Rabo, shiny chadash. Chadash is different. Mishum, mitok shlohu tartalo, eliyadei kituf zachorhu. That the reason that we don't have this problem is because the harvesting that is allowed prior to the Omer is a shinoi. It's kala achayad. You're not allowed to go out with your sickle and start cutting down, because that's the din of Reshit Ktsira. The Omer has to be the first thing harvested. So you're not allowed to go out and harvest beforehand. So what is allowed is what's called kituf. Kituf is hand picking. You're allowed to hand pick. You're not allowed to cut with the utensil, the sickle that normally cuts. cuts. So since you're going to be harvesting on a hand basis, you're not going to come to this problem of eating it, because you know the shinui itself is going to remind you not to do it. Mar says, Amar le'abaye, tinach tzira. That works well for tzira. Tchin of ahar kadah. We just said shukei yushlaim are full of kamach, is flour. Not just kali. Kali are roasted kernels. Fine for that, you can explain it. But when it comes to actual kamach, that means they process the kamach. Where's the shinui over there? Fine, there was a shinui in the tzira. But by the time you get them to be grain kernels, and you're milling them, and then you're sifting them, you're already doing the process normally, and you're going to forget about it. That's the Gemara response. No. Alokasho. That's not a problem. Tchina berechayad yada. The milling of it is done in a hand mill, not in a water-run mill. They're done in small quantities. Again, it's done in a manner that's a shinoi. You process it in very small quantities, and the harkadah is agave nafet, that it's done not the normal way through the sifter, rather you turn the sifter upside down and you do it on the back of the sifter. So all the process that's being done with chadash is all done with a shinoi from the normal processing, and that'll keep ish inish bedilmine. Then people will stay separated, they will know that it's chadash, and they won't be in violation of the isur. Therefore over here, Rabbi Yehuda was not gozer. He says people know, the fact that we're forcing them to process it in such a manner, people will be aware of the fact that they can't eat the chadash. I don't worry about it. By chametz, there's nothing there that indicates that they're separate from the chametz. They find the chametz in the moed, they're going to come to eat it. There I say, no bdika during moed, because you might come to eat the chametz that you find. Over here, I don't have that problem. First, Rabbi Meir disagrees, and Rabbi Meir is goes there over here, and we'll deal with the rest of the Gemara here. It's going to continue about their other issues, whether eating should be dilmine, lo be dilmine, which fields are patur, which fields are not patur. Can't bring the omer from a certain field, and that doesn't have a restriction of tzira. That means that you could be close there that field normally. If you do that, then you bring back into this problem of how is there any difference between this and chametz. So we'll do it tomorrow when we finish up to the Mishnah.